We're in our Life of the Beloved collection, and what we're talking about is what it means to become beloved. You know, we made a clear distinction between being beloved, which is something that's inherently true for every single human being, that we are beloved by God. But there's this other aspect that Henry Nouwen calls becoming the beloved, which is taking that knowledge that we're beloved and having it translate into every facet of our lives. And so he broke it down to four movements: taken, blessed, broken, and given. And these movements are meant to mirror what happens when we come around the table with community. We take the bread, we bless the bread, we break the bread, and we give it. And so as children of God, as beloved, these four movements help us tap into what it means to become the beloved or live like the beloved, a truly embodied faith that isn't just theoretical theology, but something that makes its way into the minute details of our everyday existence. And so last week we talked about what it means to be taken, or for better words, chosen, and how to claim our chosenness, that this is the foundation of who God created us to be. But today we're going to explore what it means to be blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? When you think about the people in our world who are the most blessed, who do you picture? A simple search of hashtag blessed on Instagram or X or TikTok reveals what our world thinks being blessed really means. From finding a new job to getting a raise, from starting a new relationship to finding out you and your partner are expecting, from buying your first house to getting overwhelmingly good news, this is what our world sees as being blessed. But if this is what it means to be blessed, where does that leave the rest of us? Where does that leave those who have been laid off, unable to find a new job? Where does it leave those who are unable to conceive or those who have miscarried? Where does it leave those who are in SoCal who have lost everything in the fires, or those who got the diagnosis that no one wants to hear from their doctor? Are they no longer blessed? Have they fallen outside the realm of God's blessing and goodness? I think what this requires us to do is re-examine our understanding of what it means to be blessed by God. Luckily, Jesus has a lot to teach us about what it means to be blessed, so we're going to learn from him today. Now, the Super Bowl is coming up in a few weeks. I have no idea who's going to the Super Bowl. Maybe we don't know either, but I don't know about you. I love the Super Bowl for everything but the football. I live for the Super Bowl commercials. I'm a huge movie guy. I love the Super Bowl watch parties. I think we did it at Steph's place last year. But most of all, my favorite thing about the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl halftime show. I'll tell you why. I love Super Bowl halftime shows because there is literally no fluff. It is all bops. It's all of the artists' greatest hits, right? The set lists are all of their amazing hits. Last year we got Usher, and you know he sang his popular songs, Yeah, You Don't Have to Call, Love in This Club. 2023, I don't know if you remember, it was Rihanna, Work, 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 right? 2022, it was Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem. I was super excited about it. I grew up on them. We're listening to California Love, Next Episode, Forgot About Dre. This year we get Kendrick, which I'm super hyped for. Right, he's going to do Not Like Us, poor Drake. These are their greatest hits, right? I love Super Bowl halftime shows because these are their greatest hits. These are the songs that they'll be remembered for. And when I think about if Jesus had a greatest hits collection, if Jesus were going to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show, it would probably include his most famous sermons. And there's no sermon that Jesus preached that's more popular, more remembered, more renowned than his Sermon on the Mount. And he begins his most popular sermon with what's known as the Beatitudes, which is essentially a list of eight blessings describing who in our world are truly the blessed ones. And so we're going to look at that today. Matthew 5, 1 through 10 is the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You'll notice that with each beatitude, it begins with this word blessed, which like sounds great in theory, like who doesn't want to be blessed? But then everything that comes after that word blessed, it just doesn't make sense. Blessed are the poor. Like in a culture driven by capitalism and success, it's the rich, it's the wealthy, it's the successful who we consider to be blessed, who we want to strive to be like. We don't see the poor single immigrant mother who has to work two jobs to feed her three kids on the front cover of our magazines. We see Timothée Chalamet, right? We don't see people who are struggling to make ends meet as someone to emulate. We don't see them as blessed. In our world, the rich are valuable and the poor are dispensable. The rich are celebrated and the poor are trampled over. What do you mean blessed are the poor? What about blessed are the peacemakers? Our world has a propensity for violence and war and force. It's the nation with the strongest army that we consider blessed. Children are being murdered in Gaza. Hate crimes are still on the rise. In America, we fight harder to hold on to our guns than protect our children in schools. Blessed are the peacemakers? What about this one? Blessed are the meek, right? Out of all the things in our world to be outraged about right now, we're pissed off because TikTok was offline for 12 hours. Why? Because in our world, blessed are the self-promoters, the loud, the proud, the aggressive. Blessed are those who post compulsively every thought and every opinion, who boast about their lives on social media. It's interesting because when I was growing up, the celebrities that everyone looked up to were movie stars or musicians. Come on, y'all know what it's like to grow up in the 90s and 2000s. But these days, the biggest celebrities, the people that kids look up to the most, are influencers. Did you know that? YouTube stars are bigger than our celebrities, bigger than our actors, bigger than our musicians. Why? Blessed are the meek? No, blessed are those with 10 million Instagram followers. The Beatitudes, they don't make sense in our world. And Jesus gives these Beatitudes at the start to his greatest sermon ever to shock us. They're meant to be scandalous. They present us with paradoxes that turn our culture's standards upside down. And he presents this thought. Maybe the most blessed people in our world aren't the rich or the powerful, the ones who have it all together, the ones living in abundance, safety, and comfort. And here the gospel radically redefines what it means to be blessed. And that those who are truly blessed are often the ones we least expect, look over, or write off. Now, the word here for blessed in the Greek is this word makarios, which actually translates to happy, or another translation could be to congratulate. But makarios isn't this superficial, circumstantial definition of happiness or congratulations that we're often accustomed to. English writer Elizabeth Rundle Charles, she says, a heart, describing what it means to be blessed in this way, a heart in harmony with itself, at rest, content, satisfied, full of all the music of which human hearts are capable, from the soft murmurs of content to the thunder of the many waters of ecstatic rapture, all that is involved in all the words expressive of human bliss, reaching up to divine creative joy. Dang, doesn't that sound good? This is what it means to be blessed. And isn't it interesting that you can have all the money in the world? You could have invested in Trump coin 2 days ago and be a millionaire right now. You can be the most successful in your industry and still not have this, and still not be blessed as defined by Jesus. What's interesting is that if we look in the Old Testament and Scripture, God's blessing or his favor upon a people almost always manifested in some external or material way, right? Whether the inheritance of land or deliverance from their enemies or fruitfulness of offspring or abundance of wealth, the Jewish religion of the Old Testament was largely a come and see religion. right? Israel was blessed. They were given land. They were given wealth. They were given abundance to be a shining example of God's blessing and favor among the nations. It was his way of saying to the world, come, see how I bless those who follow me. See how I bless my people. But the New Testament, God's blessing is rarely manifested in that same external material way. In fact, Jesus, he's always telling people the opposite. Give away your riches. Lay down your lives for one another. Take up your cross of suffering, right? In the Old Testament, the blessing was his provision. But in the New Testament, the blessing is his presence. In other words, you are blessed not because of the material blessings around you, but because you are a beloved child of God, one who belongs to him. And I think we in the modern day church, we get it twisted. We look to the Old Testament examples and think, if I'm really blessed, then it shows up in my external material life, right? It shows up in how many kids I have. It shows up in how many houses. It shows up in how successful or how rich I am. And I think this is where the prosperity gospel comes from. And so many churches teach that if you follow God, everything in your life is going to fall into place. You're going to be blessed beyond measure. But Jesus radically redefines what it means to be blessed. He's saying it's not about what you have. It's not about these external material successes. It's not what's on the outside. It's an internal gift given when you know that you are a beloved child of God. It's my presence that reminds you that you belong to me. Now, that's not to say that being wealthy is wrong or bad. I hope all of you guys are wealthy. I pray and I hope wealth for all my friends and loved ones. It just doesn't necessarily mean you're blessed, right? We all know that some of the richest people in the world are also the unhappiest, that some of the most successful people in the world are also the most miserable. You can easily be blessed on the outside, but live as if you're cursed on the inside. One of my favorite heroes was late great Robin Williams. He's done so much for San Francisco specifically. And I love Robin Williams. I feel like every documentary I watch, somehow people rave about Robin Williams, right? The other day I was watching a documentary about Christopher Reeves, the guy who played Superman, and just seeing how Robin Williams showed up for him in his toughest seasons. And he just seems like such an amazing guy, always happy on the outside. But if we look at his life, we could see that he had everything, but he was still unhappy. There was something inside of him that couldn't shake the fact that even though he had it all, that there was something missing. We can have everything together on the outside, but inwardly not live as if we're blessed. Being blessed is an internal reality that is confident in the truth that I am beloved. I belong to God and my portion is in him. And this is crucial, and I'll tell you why. Because the beauty of this blessing is that while it's inherent within us, it's meant to make its way outside of us. What do I mean? When you're able to claim your own blessedness, when you are able to say, I'm blessed, not because of everything I have, but because of whose I am, it almost always leads to a deep desire to bless others. Right? The characteristic of the blessed one is that wherever they go, they always speak words of blessing. It's incredible how easy it is to bless others, to speak good things to and about them, to call forth their beauty and truth when you yourself are in touch with your own blessedness. The blessed ones always bless. I don't know about you, but whenever I get some sort of raise I haven't got a bonus in many, many years, but when I get some sort of blessing, what's your first inclination? It's always to call the homies or call your loved ones or your family members and share it with them, right? When you have abundance, when you're overflowing, it's just so easy to be generous with the people around you. And my theory is that the reason why so many people are unable to be generous in our world is that they don't know how much they really have, that they don't know that they're truly blessed. To give someone a blessing is the most significant affirmation we can offer. Why? Because a blessing touches on the original goodness of the other person and calls forth their belovedness. It's more than just shallow words of praise or appreciation. It's more than just pointing out someone's gifts or good deeds. Giving a blessing is to affirm a person's belovedness, and ultimately giving a blessing creates the reality in which it sparks. I found in my experience that the most generous people that I've ever met are not necessarily those who are financially wealthy. It's those who know they are blessed, who have claimed their blessedness. And that includes those who are rich and poor. You know, as tragic as these wildfires have been, I've been blown away. I don't know if you have, but blown away by the response of generosity from the people to those who have lost everything in these fires. And what was striking to me was not these big corporations that were getting involved. What was striking to me was the sheer amount, volume of small local businesses, small local restaurants, small local churches stepping up to the most to serve their communities. And it made me wonder, how can people with so little to give have so much to give? And I firmly believe it's because they know they are blessed. You can't bless others without first having a sense that you are blessed. Today, I want to offer you two suggestions for claiming your blessedness, for getting this idea that I am blessed not because of what I have, but because of whose I am, and letting that overflow into our lives. Two ways that Henry Nouwen actually suggests that we could claim our blessedness: prayer and presence. First of all, prayer. You know, for much of my life, I grew up in churches where when you go to pray, you literally have to go into your prayer closet. I don't know if you grew up in old school church like me, but every house, you literally go into your closet. It was your prayer closet, and you pray. In fact, one of my heroes of faith, his name is Pastor Daniels, he would always tell this story how one day, like, he was fasting, and he went into his literal prayer closet to pray. And it was as if he just like blinked and said one sentence of prayer. But when he came out, it was already nighttime. And his wife was like, you know, you spent the whole day in there. And so I was like, I was hearing these stories. And I was like, is that what it means to pray? Like, I got to go into a closet and spend all my days there. I got to speak all these elegant words. So for much of my life, my image of prayer was getting down on your knees, folding your hands, getting into your prayer closet and saying a bunch of words to God. But in my experience, I think what I'm coming to realize now is that although I may have a tendency to say many things to God, the real work of prayer happens when we're able to enter into silence and listen to the voice of our beloved. You know, I think prayer is less about changing God's heart and more about God changing our hearts. The real fruit of prayer comes not when we say what we need to say to God, but when we hear what God needs to say to us. And if you think about it, even the act of speaking to God in and of itself is kind of baffling, isn't it? Because when you're speaking to God, it's not like you're revealing to him something that he doesn't already know. So then the question is, like, why speak to him? Why say these prayers to him? If God knows everything that's within us, even before we utter a single word, if he knows our thoughts, our feelings, our worries, our anxieties, our needs, everything within us, why say anything at all? And I think oftentimes, in the act of praying, in the act of speaking our prayers, God reveals things to us that we didn't know about ourselves. It's interesting because a few years back, I found myself, whenever I was praying, like praying for our finances. And our family had never really struggled financially. But for some reason, I kept praying in that season, God, would you bless us? Would you provide for us? Would you help us with our finances? And it revealed something to me. It's not something God didn't know. He wasn't oblivious to the fact that I was worried about our finances. But all of a sudden, it revealed to me, I have anxiety that God will be my provider. And so I think when we speak our prayers to God, it's less about him getting new info and more about us revealing to ourselves what's deep within our hearts. But then when we listen, prayer then becomes a way of listening for the voice of the beloved. more specifically, a way of listening to the blessing, hearing the good things that God has to say to us. Listen, it's not enough to be chosen, as we spoke last week. We also need to hear God's ongoing blessing that reminds us again and again that we belong to a loving God who will never forsake us. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, Leah, Rachel, they all heard that blessing in their lives, and they lived their long and often painful journeys. If you look at these characters in the Bible, they lived really, really difficult lives, but they never forgot that they were the blessed ones. They never forgot that they were favored and they were that the presence of God was with them. Even Jesus, he heard that blessing after John baptized him in the Jordan. And we need to hear that blessing again and again too. Why? Because one day we're feeling great, and the next day we feel miserable. One day we're full of hope, and the next day everything looks bleak and dull. One day we think we could take on the whole world, but the next, even a little request seems like too much for us to bear. These mood swings show us that we no longer hear the blessing that was heard by Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Leah and Rachel and Jesus. We're tossed to and fro by the waves of our lives. But when we continue to hear the deep, gentle voice that blesses us, we can walk through life anchored in our belovedness. The second, first was prayer. The second is the cultivation of presence. By presence, we're talking about developing a deep attentiveness to the blessings that are all around us, often hidden in plain sight. The attentive presence allows us to see how many blessings there are for us to receive every single day. It could be the blessings of the poor who stop us on the road. It could be the blessings of the blossoming trees and fresh flowers that teach us about new life. The blessings of music, painting, sculpture, and architecture. The blessings of relationships. The blessings that come to us through words of gratitude, encouragement, affection, and love. The blessings are there, surrounding us on all sides. But we have to be present enough to see and receive them. I think it's interesting that, you know, there's a famous psalm. The psalmist says, I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I thought that was interesting because if you look at, a lot of people assume that the psalmist was actually David. And they assume that when he wrote that, I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, they actually theorize that he was writing that when he was exiled from his community, when he was hiding in caves, living in caves, because the king Saul was trying to murder him. It's interesting that someone in his predicament, who's literally living in caves, like barely scraping by, was able to say, I see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Which shows us that blessings are all around us, even when circumstantially it looks bleak. Even when on paper, it looks like there's no reason to thank God. If we look close enough, if we're attentive enough, if we're present enough, the blessings are there. But we have to be present enough to see them and receive them. They don't force themselves on us, but they're gentle reminders of the beautiful, strong, but hidden voice of the one who calls us by name and speaks good things about us. I grew up kind of in a conservative setting where, like, basically Harry Potter is bad and movies are not good unless it's like VeggieTales or like Christian movies. And so I always kind of carry this guilt because growing up, I loved movies. And even worse, I love horror movies, right? I'm the worst pastor ever. And I love movies. And I always felt this guilt until one day I reconciled that when I watch these films and these stories are speaking to me and moving my heart, that's one way that I could be present and attentive to the goodness of God. And I can't tell you how many times I cried watching Tangled in theaters or Pixar movies or even horror movies are actually a great allegory. One day I want to do a whole sermon series on the power of horror movies in proclaiming the gospel. Okay, that's another story. But we can find beauty, we can find blessedness almost anywhere in our lives if we're willing to look and be attentive enough to see it. Prayer and presence. With all this in mind, I want to close our time together with a paraphrased version of the Beatitudes that pastor or former pastor John Mark Comer wrote for the modern day that I found so powerful. And so will you pray with me as we conclude our time together? And why don't we close our eyes? Blessed are the down and out, the unemployed, the underemployed, those being gentrified out of the city, those without a college degree, without health insurance, those who are spiritually simple, who have very little to offer because they are in the kingdom of God. Blessed are the sad, the depressed, those grieving the death of a loved one, the failure of a marriage, another miscarriage, the pain of their family history, the racism of our nation, because one day God himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Blessed are the quiet, the shy, the socially awkward, the uncool, the badly dressed, the people with 6 followers on Instagram, because one day they will be free from the tyranny of what others think of them, and they will take up their role as kings and queens of God's kingdom. Blessed are the messed up, those who can't get it together, the addict, the mentally unstable, those from an abusive home, because one day they will be so full of God's life that they won't know where to put it all. Blessed is the little guy, the people who get stomped on, passed over, who don't fight violence with violence, who people take advantage of and use, because one day they will get all that mercy back with interest. Blessed are those who want nothing to do with America's wars, with violence in the name of democracy and freedom, but who know the true source of peace and prosperity is not in a gun nor an army, who are willing to suffer to bring a new world to bear, because one day everyone will recognize they are the most like God. Blessed are all the Christians in a post-Christian culture that is hostile to all they believe, even though they are made fun of, looked down on as stupid and mean and behind time. They get to share in the cross-shaped life of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Right now, God, we just take a moment to examine our own lives. We are the blessed ones. We are the blessed ones, whether we're on the mountaintop or the valley low. We are the blessed ones, whether we have much or little. We are the blessed ones, whether we're happy or we're grieving. We are the blessed ones, whether we're surrounded with many or we're lonely. We are blessed because we are your beloved. And I pray that even today, you would change our paradigm. You would change our understanding of how we see ourselves, how we see our lives, and how we see ourselves in you. We are blessed by your presence. We are blessed because you are with us. We are blessed because we are your beloved. Right now, God, would you speak to your beloved ones? Would you remind us of our blessedness? Right now, I just feel like God is inviting us to listen with attentiveness. I believe he wants to speak words of blessing over you. Would you just take a moment to quiet your heart and just listen for the voice of the divine? God wants to say good things to us. He wants us to be reminded that we are in his hands and that he has created no mistake when he made us. Right now, listen for the voice of God. I believe he wants to give you words of blessing. He wants to remind you of who you are. He wants to tell you what he loves about you. Some of you in this season, you've really had issues with your self-image because of how it's been at work or how a lot of what you have produced hasn't necessarily succeeded in terms of the world. And there's this self-image problem where you look at yourself and you see yourself as less than or broken or flawed. And I just hear the Lord saying, that's not who I created you to be. Even if you fail on the outside, you are no failure. That is not your identity. Right now, God, would you speak to those? Would you remind them that they are valuable, that they are precious, that they are beloved? that you created them with no mistake. Right now, God, I speak to those who are dealing with the insecurity of self-image, of how they look, of how heavy or thin they are, of whatever issues that they're experiencing in their body. I pray you would remind them that they are beautiful. They are beautiful and radiant. Right now, just receive the words from your beloved. Let him speak his blessing over you.